Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
We are back on our third week with Southern Cross, and with me in studio today is Pacific Media Watch contributing editor Sri Krishnamurthy and also Lawrence Akinia, who's a West Papuan student. So hello to you both.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Very good.
Good.
Great, thanks.
Great. Feeling the Monday energies?
Of course.
Always. Yeah. Cool. We've also got James Tapp, who might pop in.
Any
questions. Great. Well, we'll dive onto our first topic that we're going to talk about today, which is coronavirus, which is, I think, all over the media today and for the past little while, but most recently we've seen that in French Polynesia we've had their first case. And so could you speak a little bit on that?
Yes, certainly. Maina Sage, Tahiti, she's a lawmaker and she went to Paris. And so she caught it there, and she's come back and given it to an acquaintance of hers, as well as they've had a sisteress in Tahiti who's caught it as well. And this is a very worrying trend because three cases in Guam, two of them went to the Philippines and one to Japan. And so they came back and brought it back in. And the American Samoan governor, Lolo Malinga, visited Seattle, so he's self-isolated.
I guess that's what impact has this had on the Pacific?
Yeah. It's had a very, very sobering effect on the Pacific. People are being very, very careful. I mean, as you can see, New Zealand is only allowing people from the Pacific into New Zealand, and so that's a great concern. And New Zealand is doing everything it can to protect the Pacific borders, and the Pacific countries themselves have tightened up their borders.
Mm-hmm. Because with especially, I think that was something I talked about this morning with the Green Party co-leader James Shaw, was the impact it has on tourism industry. And so are we seeing a lot of borders being shut at the moment?
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yes, we are. I mean, it's really a major concern. Mm. Yeah. And last week, the Pacific Festival got cancelled.
Yes.
So many people came in for that. And so they had to sell their food and they had to sell their goods and wares elsewhere.
Yeah.
And there's talk now that Polyfest next week is going to be cancelled too.
That's incredibly frustrating. But
yeah. But you can see it's necessary.
Mm-hmm. It's just the state of things at the moment. And with what kind of financial support is given to the Pacific Islands at the moment?
At the moment, Winston Peters announced $1 million to go to WHO in Suva last week. And that's as much as I know.
Mm. And particularly, I'm thinking about Samoa, which dealt with very tragic incidents with measles just last year. And so, do you have any more information on how Samoa is?
Yeah. Samoa has closed its borders to everybody outside, I think so. And so they're taking all the precautionary measures.
Mm-hmm. And was there anything else you wanted to add in terms of the effects or in terms of how is the Pacific coping in terms of...
I don't think... I mean, the Pacific doesn't seem to know much about it, and that's a big concern. As Dr. Colin Tikitonga said last week, we must protect the Pacific, because the comorbidities in the Pacific are very, very high.
Mm. Do you think New Zealand should be doing more?
Well, I mean, how much more can they do? That's really the question. I mean, the question is to ask all the countries in the Pacific, what else do they want?
And then next, we've also got Lawrence Akinia in studio. Hi. Hello. a bit of a more positive topic, hopefully. But yeah. So there's currently 120 West Papuan students studying in New Zealand.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, and 600 worldwide. So could you talk to me a little bit about that?
Wow, thanks. First of all, thank you for having me here.
Well, I'll just move that glass of water. I nearly knocked that on you.
Well, in New Zealand, we have about 120 students in total. So we spread all the way from north to south. And some of us are studying at Auckland University of Technology, Auckland University as well, Waikato University, Massey University, the Institute of the Pacific United, Victoria University, Canterbury University, and Otago University. Mm. Yeah. And some of us are still doing high school.
Mm.
Yeah. And then in terms of them, like, and around the world, there are like more than 600 students.
Yeah. So this is all being sponsored and it's on scholarship?
Yeah.
From who's supporting this program?
Well, we are we have been supported by the Papuan provincial government. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And how have you found any significant differences with the New Zealand education system and West Papua?
Wow, that's very much, very much. It's always like it's far frank, you know, far the difference. My personal experience, because I did about 2 years for teacher sort of like in training. I did back home, and I was teaching for 6 months kind of things. And I came to New Zealand, I was thinking like I'm gonna continue on my program, but like I came to New Zealand and I studied foundation program for another like 4 months. And when I started my bachelor, it was completely different.
Mm.
Because the curriculums and all the materials are, you know, being taught in here is also it's very high in terms of the kind of quality of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And very interactive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much different.
What's the education system like back home for you?
It's like mostly based on the theoretical stuff, those kind of things.
Right.
Yeah. And then student, all the teachers, most like teachers wants students have to do this and there, right? But in here, what I find it very interesting is like, sort of the teacher try to find or discover what is the strength that, you know, the students have.
Mm.
Yeah, and this is one of the interesting thing. Yeah, that's why like students get more like attractive to be learned, you know, to learn more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you currently studying?
At the moment, I'm currently studying at AUT, doing Master of Communications.
Yeah. I guess I was asking this a little before. So you just started the course. Do you have anything to talk about? Let me think of how to phrase this, because we were having a little chat before. I was wondering, have you found any differences with the way, you know, studying media or interacting with media or even experiencing media is different with West Papua compared to New Zealand?
Right, yeah. I personally don't have like background, you know, that's like background knowledge or like experience in media.
Mm-hmm.
But what I heard from like, you know, reports and the in the media, that how the journalists are in a, you know, risk when they are reporting about the truth, what actually happened back home, this kind of things. Yeah, but like I wouldn't, you know, go far and talk about this, otherwise it's gonna be biased, because I don't have valid data to talk about this. It's very interesting, very interesting to learn how what actually the effect that happening, you know, and the ground, and then how it should be reported.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that the public can know it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm very excited. See, how many years do you have left of your degree?
Well, the course gonna take me 1.5 years.
Yeah,
but it really depends of workload of new assignments and stuff. Yeah, because by next semester I'll be starting my research.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'll see. Was there anything else you wanted to add for today?
Well, I want to add, just want to acknowledge our governor. Our governor is such a, you know, great leader and visionary leader, because he made it, you know, brave decision to send West Papuan students overseas.
Mm.
Yeah. And I hope there will be more West Papuan students coming to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So that other students who are, you know, still wanting to study or should get the same experience as, you know, I'm having. So, because New Zealand is, I would say, in terms of the culture, people here mostly like, you know, like Maori culture and Pacific Islanders, we have the Polynesians, and, you know, we are part of a Melanesian. We have some sort of, like, you know, many similarities.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like we are welcome here.
Yeah.
And hopefully, after completing our studies, and we're given a chance to work to get experience in here as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's very exciting. I'm sure I'll see your name on a byline at some point very soon. Yeah, thank you for popping in today. Next, I wanted to talk about reflecting on yesterday was the anniversary of the Christchurch terror attack, which resulted in 51 Muslim people losing their lives to a white supremacist terrorist. And the Remembrance Day was cancelled by Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern due to the coronavirus, the effects of the COVID-19. And I was just having a read on some articles on RNZ, and the spokesperson for the Al Noor Mosque hopes that the members hope that people will move towards and grow an understanding and move forward from this. And there was also recently an article from Paul Spoonley of Massey University who states that far-right supremacy is still very much a threat. So, Sri, could you talk to me a little bit about that?
Okay. Yeah. Professor Spoonley, his assessment was 50 to 70 groups in New Zealand and 150 to 300 core right-wing activists. And that's a lot. The government has moved quickly to ban assault weapons, but the other initiatives like the Royal Commission of Inquiry is still pending. Mm. And as you can see, even in Auckland University, it's a growing concern.
Yeah, it's because a few weeks ago on Auckland Uni campus, we had white supremacist posters pop up, which is something that happened last year, but it obviously has still a threat.
Yes.
And so do you think more should be done in terms of dealing with this?
Well, how much more can they do? I mean, it's really for this online social media platform to self-censor. And I think that's the biggest thing that came out of the Christchurch call. And to take all the steps they can. And they can do more. They can still do more.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I guess my question is, with growing hate speech and with growing online extremism, that's where a lot of this is being built up. Do you think more needs to be done in terms of legislation? Do you think the Christchurch call was adequate?
Well, I mean, as far as Paul Spoonley is concerned, the legislation, what defines hate speech? Mm. How far can you go with freedom of speech? And that's a major concern.
Yeah. As recently as well, we had the abortion reform as well.
Yep.
And we had there was a bill that's hoping to pass to create a safe space around abortion clinics.
Yep.
And again, that question of freedom of speech came up. That's I think this is there's a lot of discussion.
It's a very hoary chestnut. Mm-hmm. The freedom of speech. How much of freedom of speech, or how much is hate speech? And how much can you allow to get on? Mm. And it really does come down to the social media platforms having to self-censor.
Mm. Other than social media, it is the question of freedom of speech. What else can be done in terms of stopping the rise of right-wing extremism and white supremacy? Because that's something that is a constant threat.
Well, I mean, the government can do more through through its social agencies and through its security agencies, and they're monitoring these groups far more stringently than before, and the media are picking up on stories of them before as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to add in regards to Paul Spoonley's article?
Well, he'll be speaking at AUT on Wednesday night. And that's for something to be discovered. It's something to talk about.
Yeah, I think that'll be a really, really interesting talk.
Yeah.
What time? Do you have any more details about that talk?
Yes, I mean, it's hate speech, religious diversity, and political discourse. And there's a group of four professors there, and they are Professor Spoonley, Professor Edwin Apio, Farid Ahmed, the peace advocate and Professor Douglas Pratt, and Professor Paul Lynham, from the retired professor of history at Massey University, and Andrew Rahman.
Yeah. Great, thank you. Yeah, and finally, to close up today, we are going to talk about the starfish eating coral. I think that's something we touched on last week. What's happening with the coral, and why is starfish eating it?
Well, I mean, starfish do what starfish do. In 2013, when the when the Collins Bin Sultan Oceans Group went to Collins, they found the starfish is eating coral around Atitaki. And so they removed about 540 of them. And then they went back in 2015 and to check. And they found it is a more resilient and more sustainable, the coral. And as well as that, they produced a strategy to look after the coral. Mm.
So why? Which particular areas are affected?
Atitaki was badly affected, not Rarotonga, not the Palmerston at all. Mm. And it's also a growing concern in the Pacific, because they have, 3 years ago, they conducted a survey in the Vanuatu and also in Fiji.
Right. And particularly, why are there so many starfish? Have they figured it out why there's such an imbalance?
No, they haven't. I mean, that's a survey that they've conducted, and the group that did it went around the world looking at all the oceans, mm-hmm. and all the coral in the oceans. And it could be because of climate change, because the seas are getting warmer, and so there's proliferation of starfish.
Yeah, for sure. And my final question is, have they discovered what's the best way to mitigate it? I mean, what I'm imagining in my head is, are they going to go around killing lots of starfish? Is that?
Well, I mean, they pick them by hand in Cook Islands, mm-hmm. and it's a very, very, very venomous starfish. Mm-hmm. And so they very carefully collected them wearing gloves, and they removed them from the ocean, as well as in Vanuatu. What they did was they injected them with some lime juice, mm-hmm. and so killed them off.
With lime juice, okay. That's actually very interesting. Yeah. Wow. Was there anything else for us to look forward to coming from the Pacific Media Centre for the next week?
Well, I mean, yes. Professor David Roby will be speaking at the Human Rights in Southeast Asia. As it is an Amnesty International event, as well as on Wednesday.
Oh, great. Well, you can read all about the Pacific Media Centre updates at asiapacificreport.nz or pacmediawatch.aet.ac.nz. And thank you so much to Sri and Lawrence for joining me in studio today.
You're welcome.
That was the Southern Cross.